If trends continue, Wyoming will close its gender wage gap last out of all 50 states in the year 2159. The Institute for Women's Policy Research predicted that date by looking at salary rates in the state from 1969 to 2013. Julie Anderson is a research associate at the Institute, and she joined Wyoming Public Radio's Caroline Ballard to discuss why Wyoming is such an outlier when it comes to the wage gap.
Wyoming is an interesting state. It doesn't really follow the patterns of some states. So in general, what contributes to the wage gap is the fact that women simply are relatively new in the labor force in large numbers and were at first in roles where they were not paid as much. And I think part of it is that as women are moving into more and more fields in greater and greater numbers, change is just slow. There's some lingering sort of cultural factors. There are some things that inhibit women sort of fully participating in the labor force throughout their lives, which are things like policies, paid sick leave, paid family leave, so that women still to this day are more likely to be in unpaid caregiving roles. And still it's true that women and men tend to go into different occupations. So if you listed the 20 most common occupations for women and the 20 for men, there's not a lot of overlap in there. And the ones that have women in them are lower paying than the ones that have predominantly men.
According to your research, the wage gap in Wyoming would close in 2159, so close to 150 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Why would it take so long, potentially, for Wyoming to close that gap?
The way we do that analysis is it's a projection where we went back to 1960 and we looked at wage data for median annual earnings for women and men. And the reason Wyoming is so far out, it's actually more than 50 years after the next to last state. So it's really way out there on its own. Does have to do with the fact that instead of men's wages staying the same while women's creep up a little bit, the bar keeps going up for men, making it harder and harder for women to catch up to that. Men in Wyoming are the seventh ranked state in the nation for their median annual earnings, whereas women are more in the middle of the pack at 22nd. So while men are earning much more than the national average, men living in Wyoming, women in Wyoming are earning below the national average. So that gap is pretty wide and closing slowly because men's wages continue to go up in the state, which is not the usual trend.
One of the things that comes to my mind when you say that may be due to the state's energy industry, in that those jobs tend to pay higher wages and men predominantly fill those jobs. Mm-hmm. The energy industry is seeing a downturn. Could that impact the wage gap if men's salaries start to go down?
It would. It would close the wage gap. It's hard to see it as a good news story because, you know, so many families rely on two earners. So it would close the wage gap, but I don't know that really that would be to the benefit of anybody. I mean, we, of course, want the wage gap closed, but not because we want anybody's wages dropping.
What about the next generation of earners, millennials, who are just coming in to the workforce? How are they doing with the wage gap?
If we look at the wage gap for millennials, so we're counting those as people age 16 to 34, it's often smaller than the wage gap if we're comparing women and men sort of all ages who are working. And Wyoming sort of defies that trend as well in that the wage gap for millennials puts them at last place in the country. So while women overall, the wage gap is about 68 cents that every women earn for every dollar men earn, for millennials it's 72, which is the largest wage gap for that age group in the nation. And sort of a troubling, ominous sign because many of the things that would tend to reduce wages, stepping back from the labor force, would not yet have occurred for people who are in the 16 to 34 age bracket.
Where does change need to come from to improve conditions, especially the wage gap, for women in Wyoming and women around the country?
More and more families are relying on women's wages. So this is not just an issue that impacts women. It's an issue that impacts families and communities and the overall economy. And one of the ways to change it would be to address this occupational segregation. It's such a big contributor to the gap. And that may have a lot to do with a lack of information. I just don't know that people are informed about the potential earnings of different occupations. I think that we're still not really forthcoming about providing maybe even high school students about potential earnings of different jobs. So, you know, following your heart is great, but if you also have the information that something that's similar but just slightly different has the potential to have much more sort of family-sustaining wages, you might make a different choice. And the other thing really has to do with this caregiving. As we have a society that's growing older, we just need policies that support families and taking care of families. People have a right to 12 weeks of unpaid leave, but of course, the lower income you are, the less that's a possibility. No one can just walk away from 12 weeks of wages. So some of those policies that we know exist around the world, paid sick days, paid family leave, would support women in staying in the workforce instead of stepping back to do these unpaid caregiving roles. And we think ultimately that'll address the wage gap and will also help women be more economically secure in their older age once they're through working in their retirement.
Julie Anderson is a research associate for the Institute for Women's Policy Research. Thanks so much, Julie, for joining us.
Thanks, it's my pleasure.